Welcome to worship, friends. Welcome back to worship, Bridge family, guests all over the world. I pray that you've come looking forward to getting together with the living God and being changed. Friends, I have to tell you that I am so excited for our time together today. I don't know if you've experienced the special times when you just know in your heart that the Lord was not just speaking to you, but he was giving you a hug, one of those personal hugs. Now, it's God's word that we study, and it's his word that goes out to all the world. And yet there are times when you just know in your heart that while it blesses everybody, he's got a special blessing for you. Well, today we're in just such a place. I pray for you. You see, let me frame things by opening up with a question. What do you suppose most people in the world are looking for? What are most people looking for? If we're honest, if you look around, it'll be things of this world. Comforts, power, health, money. But most people are looking for and longing for something that isn't necessarily going to be a eternal blessing to them. Not going to be an eternal blessing to anybody, really. But now let me ask you this. What do most professing Christians live looking for? Now I'm emphasizing professing. In fact, let's say cultural churches. So professing Christians and cultural churches, what are they looking for? Now think about it this way. What do biblical Christians and biblical missional churches live looking for? Is that even an appropriate question? You know, what's the relevance, you might ask, of this? Well, stay with me, because I'm going to show you. God's going to show us. Jesus the Christ is going to show us. Now, let me ask you this. Where do and how do and why do most people look for whatever it is that they're looking for? Be it a worldly person, a professing or cultural Christian or church, or where, why, how, and so forth do biblical and missional Christians and churches do what they do? Look for and long for what? Well, before we get to this, let me just put it into a couple of additional contexts. Would it matter who and what a military soldier would be looking for? Is there a difference between looking for, seeking, and watching out for friends or foes? Well, no doubt you'd say, well, of course. In the military, if you confuse who's a friend and who's a foe, you're going to hurt, if not kill, your brothers, and you're going to help, if not exalt, your enemies. Well, what about this? How about if you were to question whether or not it's important that you know and select wisely what you're looking for if you were mining for gold? That for a contrast, but the principle still holds. Does it matter whether or not you know what real gold is? Does it matter if you choose pyrite, commonly called fool's gold, that which looks like gold but isn't? Would it matter? Well, on the battlefield, it could be a matter of life and death. It could swing the pendulum of victory or defeat for an entire army or nation. When it comes to mining for gold, it'll be the difference between getting to the finish line and finding that there is unforeseen, unimaginable wealth that's been acquired in the real gold. And it's to know a depressing and destructive reality if you bring pyrite to the finish line, only to hear after all that time, all that effort, that you've acquired absolutely nothing. It's worthless. Well, I pray that you understand now, at least in preparation, how important it is to know what it is that we could and should be looking for, that we come to realize that this question, through the teaching, the equipping, through the sending out of Jesus the Christ, this is an absolutely critical question. Do you know what you are looking for? Do you know what we should be looking for? Do you realize how much it matters that we collectively and individually know and choose rightly, righteously, what it is that we could and should be looking for? If you would, pray with me, get your Bible, and let's get ready. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there, but I promise you, there's treasure in this lesson. Oh Lord, I do pray that each one within the sound of my voice will be blessed as much or more than you've blessed me in the preparation of this message. May there be others like me who come to the place of illumination and blessing. And Lord, I pray that Trinity invitation to heaven is received. I pray, Lord, that there will be cancellations of reservations in hell through your preaching ending and our hearing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, for those of you that haven't been with us, we're continuing in a sermon series entitled Miracle Messiah Mission. We're going through the Gospel of Matthew to better understand the Gospel of Jesus Christ. We're in Matthew 10. We're coming into the second great discourse or teach. We've seen him in the first section teach us how to live life in the Sermon on the Mount. And now he's leading us to begging us to be those who know how to live sent in chapters 8, 9, and 10. How to live life, and now how to live sent. And we've already seen that Jesus has gone out. He's told his people and taught his people. He's shown his people, and now he's sending his people. He's equipping his people, and he's empowering his people. And we've seen this. We've seen it with an almighty power, recognizing that the miraculous gifts and power are his, and that he does send some with apostolic power. And we've noted that there's a capital A apostolic and there's a small a apostolic. We'll see that here again today. And it's important to understand that sent one power comes from the sovereign one, almighty in his power. And there will be specific assignments in which his power will be put on display per his purposes and his desires. His people will demonstrate his purpose and his power as he assigns it. So with that said, we now come to where we left off last time. Matthew chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. Again, if you have your Bibles, come with me. This is an amazing passage. And if you're not familiar with it, get ready to be blown away. And if you are familiar with it, I pray that every one of us today will be refined and refreshed anew. And many of us are about to discover some new treasure in and through God's word, his will, and ways. So let me tell you what we're going to see here today. And hear me, please. Heed the word of God. Our Lord, our Messiah, is absolutely crystal clear that he is on mission and that he is saved and sent his people to live on mission. We've seen it in the fact that Jesus came. We've seen it in the teaching already that Jesus is Lord. He's come to fulfill the law and the prophets. He's come to fulfill all righteousness, and he's calling his people. He's sending out his people to join him on his mission. Well, today what we see is Jesus again preparing. We've already seen him displaying. We've already seen that he's promised and has empowered his people to go as his ambassadors, as his disciples, as his apostles, sent ones, as his witnesses to the world. And today what we're going to see is him showing us how to fulfill what he's called us to. Remember, he told us at the end of chapter 9 that we are, as those who are going to seek to be like him and serve, we are to be those who are going to pray earnestly that the Lord of the harvest will send out more harvesters because he has a high quality harvest and low quantities of harvesters, of those that would work. Now, we're going to walk through Matthew's account, and we're going to bring in Luke's perspective just to give us a fuller context, because you're going to see in putting these two accounts together, it's got a richness that for many is going to open up our eyes, I pray. Now, remember this. Here's the big idea, that when we take God at his word, he's crystal clear here on how his holy harvesters are to find and grow more holy harvesters. Here's the phrase that I pray you'll never, ever forget. You, Christian, we, church, we are to seek the worthy people of peace. Seek worthy people of peace. If that doesn't sound like it flows, if it's not something you've heard before, if it seems to bring friction to some of your expectations, I plead with you to be a Berean. Come with me. Don't just take my word for it. Come into the Word of God. Understand this. If you want to know how we are to fulfill the mission of our Lord, in large part, we seek worthy people of peace. Watch as our Lord explains and unpacks this powerful truth. We're going to see that we, church, we, the Christian family, those that Jesus is speaking to and directing as his people, we go, and in that, what we're going to do is we're sent. We live sent. We seek. And third, we shake. We're sent, we seek, and we shake. You'll see we're sent locally, regionally, and globally. Acts 1:8, the last words of Jesus in Matthew 28:18. You're going to see that we seek. And how do we seek? We'll see here today. We learn people. We test people. And we bless people. We learn, we test, and we bless. And then you'll see that we shake. What do you mean we shake? Christian, praise God, we shake hell. We shake hell. Every time the gospel goes forward, every time God's people and peace advance, hell shakes. We are enemy number one. Amen. We also shake the him and the her of those who reject Christ, reject his word, his will, and you'll see it applies to those who reject us when we carry his word, his will, and his. And ultimately, you'll see here is going to shake. Here, in the modern day Sodom and Gomorrah that we live in the modern day Laodicea that we live in. All right, come with me. We're gonna go fast, but I pray to God you'll be blessed. And if you're not accustomed to coming to the notes that I attach to these sermons, I want to encourage you. I exhort you, come to the notes. Take some time. Take not just minutes. You might be blessed to take some hours. The richness in this lesson, the richness of this passage will blow you away if you'll submit yourself to it. There are aspects of God and his word in this small passage that will shock, if not shake, people to their core. I pray in a way that leads to eternal blessing. But in any way, I pray that God is glorified. So come with me. We're going to read through Matthew chapter 10, verses 11 through 15, and then I'm going to add some of Luke's context that speaks to this and similar dynamics. All right, let's come and recognize what's happening here. With Jesus, we are now walking through this part of the gospel, and I would say this to you. We're in the Almighty's ambassador training. That's what's happening here. Almighty God is training his ambassadors. That's us, Christian. John 17 makes it clear. Jesus was not only praying for and equipping those that were in his immediate circles, not only in his secondary or peripheral circles, but all the way out to you and me here today, those who would take this understanding of God's truth and love in the multi-generations that would come until his return. So this is for you and me. This is for all of us that know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it's an invitation to all others to become a part of Jesus's family that know him with intimacy and relation. Amen. All right, here's God's word, Matthew chapter 10. And whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it. And stay at his house until you leave that city. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, see that your blessing of peace comes upon it. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. And whoever does not receive you, nor listen to your words, as you leave that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly, or amen, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that city. Amen. That is the word of God. And it is in red letters for those of you that may question. Now, let me just add to this context from Luke's account. And here I want you to know that Luke also gives the account of the Lord sending out the 12 like we have. And Luke gives the account of our Lord giving the same instructions to the sending out of another 72. That means that what we have here is not just for the capital A apostles. This is for the additional sent ones, small A apostles in Scripture. Now connect those dots from our Lord to the capital A apostles to the New Testament small A apostles all the way to you and me who live as sent ones. Go therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations. You and I, Christian, were sent ones. All right, now again, just quoting Jesus here in Luke's account. Jesus sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. That's what they're proclaiming, the kingdom of God. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others. Again, here we see additional sent ones. The Lord sent them, so they're sent by him, two by two. We see the role of our relationships, connectionship to our relationship to him. He said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So what we heard him say in Matthew earlier to the 12, he's saying in Luke to both the 12 and the 72, and therefore you and I can extrapolate that this message also applies to us. What does he say? He tells them to go, go, be sent, go, go, go. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Now, this is important because now we're being told, Matthew, it was go and greet. Here in Luke, we're being told how to greet. Go and tell them first, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on them. We know this is the person of peace passage. Jesus is making it clear. What's your greeting? Peace, shalom. Jesus is making it clear. What's it mean to be worthy? It's to be one in whom the work of God is being revealed. It's one who receives this peace of God, one who reflects this peace of God is at work in them. And that's what we see here is also the key. The key in Matthew is revealed here in Luke, and that is those who receive. When the blessing of shalom is offered, it rests on them. They receive it. Critical that you understand these pieces. Now he says, whenever you go to a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say. Now note again, this is a distinction. This is now going publicly. This is now going boldly. This is not a quiet, sheepish thing. We have the Lord calling his people, commanding his people to respond in this way. Go into the streets and proclaim. Go into the streets and shake the dust off your feet. All right, one more. Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. That's in Luke's gospel. Here again, see, Jesus is calling his people not only to this correction, but to this confrontation. This correction that's confrontational, that's to be convictional. This is not only missional, this is biblical. Now, I pray that you and I get this, and let's walk now through what it is that we see here, what it is to live sent, to live seeking, and then to live and love shaking. This is Jesus. Again, this is his ambassadorship academy. This is him that's teaching the Almighty's Academy on Ambassadorship. And he's very crystal clear. He's very confrontational. He's very convictional. He's extremely countercultural. Now, come with me. And whatever city or village you enter, this just simply demonstrates that we live sent, that our Lord came out of heaven sent. He says in John 20:21, as the Lord Father, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. So what we see here is Jesus sent out the 12, Jesus sent out the 72, and we know from various scriptures that Jesus sent out all of his people, and that means he's sent us out. We live sent. Now, we know that these villages, these houses, these are his fishing holes. These are his harvest fields. He's already told us, come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. So where he's sending, these are his fishing holes. He's told us the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So now I'm sending you out as my workers. Go into my mission fields. So these houses, these villages, these cities, personal, these hearts, these are his fishing and his mission fields. That's where we're being sent. Now he says, again, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I want to encourage you to the parable of the soils and put these two together. We know in Matthew 13, and we'll get there, that there's different types of soil where the seed goes, and it's only in the good soil where we see a multiplication. We see the harvest being multiplied. So what the Lord's telling us to do here is to go look for good soil. Go and do what I've called and demonstrated for you to do. Go look for good soil. Go bring in the harvest. I'm growing them. You're going to help to draw them in. That's our part. I'm the one who's catching the fish. You're going to be the ones that bring them in and help to clean the fish. Again, this is what we see over and over and over again. Now, I pray that we'll see just there. Go into these villages, cities, and houses. That's what it is to be sent. But now, how are we going to find those holy harvesters? And what he says here is we are going to seek. Seek those. Now, we're going to need to learn those. Then we're going to need to test those. And I pray that you'll see we're going to bless those by staying with them and helping to build them up to the glory of God. So here we have it. Inquire. Now, this word is a huge word. This is one of the blessings. This word, inquire, it's the same word from which we get our English word exegete or exegesis. We'll talk about this further in a minute, but here's what we have. The Lord is saying, I want you to do an exegesis on the people. Do an exegesis on the people and find out who is worthy. Now, that word's going to no doubt make some of us bristle. What do you mean somebody's worthy? Who are you to say I'm worthy or not worthy? Well, it's God who's saying it to understand it. This word worthy, it's grounded in, its origin comes from a weight, like a scale. In Greek, it's axios. It's the word from which we get axis. What he's saying is find those people, exegete those people, study those people, learn those people, and find out those in whom, when you bring the blessing of my word, when you bring the representation of Christ as Lord into that dynamic, you'll find some who have a counterweight, who are equal to, in response, an acknowledgement that Jesus is Lord. And they may not know that yet, but God is at work in them. And that's what he's being, what he's telling us all to do is look for those that have an equal sense of God's work, God's power, and they have an interest. They may not even understand how or why, but there is an equal sense that God is doing something special here. Inquire who is worthy in it, in the house or in the town or in the village, and stay at his house until you leave that city. Again, learn the people, then test who is and who is not worthy. Now, this is important. There's a lot of culture in this passage. You see, you might think, well, if they invite you in, then they're the ones. But that's not the case. You see, in the culture of their day, it would be very common that you would be received and welcomed in because that's what people were supposed to do. But it's not necessarily the same as welcoming you in as an ambassador for Christ. They may welcome you in as a Jew, but treat you poorly because you're a representative of Jesus. And what he's telling them and us to do is look for those who not only welcome you in, but welcome you in as a response to your proclamation that Jesus is Lord and that the gospel is needed. This is huge. So there's a learning. And again, that word, it's almost like the word interrogate. We need to press in and really learn people. We need to understand because, frankly, there are way too many people who put more time and effort into evaluating and sorting through fresh fruit and vegetables than they do in discerning souls and who they're dealing with. What we have here is another instruction, very similar to John 7:24, where Jesus commands us to judge people, judge them righteously. What we're being told here is to inquire, to study, to examine with intensity the character and the core of people so that we'll know who is worthy, not who are Pharisaical and religious, but who has the fingerprints of all on them, who is being drawn, who is in the midst of a power encounter with the Lord. And you may be the one that's either introducing that or adding to it or explaining it or refining it. But that's what the Lord is saying, is that we should be precise and meticulous in our investigation of where God is at work, in whom or who he is not at work in. Now, know this, that the enemy of your soul and his workers, they know this truth and they know how powerful it is. Herod is a good example in the scriptures. He told the Magi that he wanted them to go and look carefully. Again, to use this kind of intrigue and interrogation, find for me the true Messiah. You see, there are evil people who are going to try to learn you who don't love you. And that's usually a step in the process of hurting you, if not attacking you. This is how spies work. This is how identity theft works. This is how the enemies of God work in trying to learn how to use the lingo to deceive people. It's very common for evil people to use good to lead others to bad. Again, most false teachers, the best of the false prophets and false leaders, they use 90% of God's word and insert 5 or 10% poison. The majority of it sounds great because it's true, but then they manipulate and they pervert, they poison. This is key. This is in large part why we need to inquire. We need to examine. We need to learn people. This is how we go forward. This is how you find more holy harvesters. This is part of what we do. We learn them and then we test them. Who is worthy and who is not? Somebody says, well, I don't like that idea, Pastor Jeff. I don't like the idea of you thinking that somebody's worthy and somebody isn't. I don't like the idea that you're going to actually look to see who's responding and who isn't. Shouldn't you just be a double-fisted seed sower who gets comfortable behind the plow? I've heard you pray that. I've heard you preach that. And I would say, yes, amen. And you then interrogate the process of the seeds. You look to see, are the seeds bringing forth a harvest? Is this good soil? You need to discern. You need to test. You need to see who is responding to Almighty God and who is not. You've heard me say before, church, we invite everybody. We invest in the few. Again, that's Jesus's words. The broad road is filled with bad soil, multitudes, and the vast majority of people. You don't invest. You don't fertilize weeds. You invest in and you pour your life in. Again, Jesus is saying it right here. In the few who are responding to him. See who, not the ones you like, not the ones that look like us, sound like us. Those in whom the Lord is doing a work. John 6:44. Those in whom he is drawing. That's what we have here in the instruction. I pray that you'll also realize that our Lord uses this principle, this proclamation as well. He's made it clear. Anybody who loves anybody else, family or not, more than him is not worthy of him. Anybody who is not willing to pick up their cross and follow him every day is not worthy to be his disciple. There is a reality to this understanding of testing. 2 Corinthians 13:5 encourages us to test ourselves. This is a very real part of the application of Christ's kingdom citizenship. It's not only a part of the explanation of the gospel, it's a very real part of what it is to live as a kingdom citizen. We learn people and then we test people. That's what the Lord is telling us. Now, think about this before you get too off. This testing, it doesn't end there. Think about the prodigal. Think about Paul. These are those who declared themselves not worthy, and yet who received the incredible gospel, the mercy, and the love of our Lord. You see, those who are not worthy need to know they're not worthy, so that, we pray, they will confess, repent, and seek restoration, whether it's temporary or eternal. This is why truth and love is so important and so powerful. It is really the blessing that leads people home. If somebody's in sin eternal or in sin temporary, you're loving them, I pray, when you tell them the truth about their sin, because it's only through that truth that they'll know and be drawn back to our Lord. To leave somebody in sin and call it love is a lie. It's a lie. Truth in love tells the truth in love, leads in love people back to the true men. All right, now what you see, and we'll spend the rest of our time here, is we not only live sent, we not only seek by learning, testing, and blessing. And the blessing, by the way, he says, stay there. We bless by not looking for bigger and more worldly comforts. We bless by staying and pouring out our lives into others. We make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. 2 Timothy 2:2. We literally hear the Lord, heed his word, and we pour in as a witness. We fish where the fish are. If he's brought us to good soil, work the farm. We are to literally do the work of the harvesting here. That's what the Lord is saying. You bless people and you are blessed when you stay where the Lord has you at. Now, no doubt, that's an easy amen. But now watch where he goes next. As you see, we not only live sent, we're not only actively seeking, but we, church, we shake. We shake hell when we advance the gospel in Jesus' name, by his grace and for his glory. We shake the him and the her who reject us and our Lord. And we shake, I pray, with an awakening, the here and now of our culture. Whatever continent we live on, I promise you, we're in the context of a here that needs to hear and heed this particular word of God. All right, let's come back to the word. We shake hell. Listen, verses 13, 12 and 13. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. Remember, peace be with you. We do just like Jesus. We bring shalom as a prayer and as a potential promise to those who heed the word of God, who come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. As you enter the house, give it your greeting, shalom. If the house is worthy, if God is at work in them, see your blessing of peace comes upon that word, upon. It's epi. I recently did a little digging into Spanish moss. You know, Spanish moss lives on trees, but it doesn't live from the trees. It's not a parasite. It's actually something that lives on top. And this blessing, this is what he's making clear here. He's saying, when you give your blessing, it's going to go on top of. And if the people are worthy, they're going to receive. It's a gift. They don't generate the gift of this blessing of peace. It's given to them. And you and I, Christian, as ambassadors, as messengers, we're not the originators of the peace. We are the carriers of the peace. I've heard it said, we're not a chef in the restaurant kitchen. We're the waiter or waitress that carries it out from the kitchen to the table. And that's what's happening here. The Lord says, if you give the promise of shalom and it's received because God's at work, then let me tell you, not only is there a blessing here, but hell itself is going to quiver and shake because hell hates when the peace and the people of our Lord advance. Hell is panicked every time the Lord's peace goes forward. And that's what we see here. And I pray you recognize it. It helps to explain why you have such aggressive spiritual warfare at times. As you are advancing the truth and love of the gospel, the King and Kingdom of Christ Jesus, our Creator and our Savior, then you are going to bring all of what the enemy, all of what hell has to bear is likely to come against you because you're championing as an ambassador our Lord Jesus. Amen. Hell hates the King and his kingdom. Hell is going to bring everything it has against you when you are serving in that champion, in that champion's role. Now, your greeting, again, we saw it's when you are Christological, when you're Christ-centered. You're a Christ-sent one. You're a Christ-empowered one. You're a Christ-glorifying one. And for that reason, you are going to bring the greatest blessing and you are going to receive the greatest opposition. This is what we see. Now, it says, if the household, if the oikos, if this gathering, if this nucleus of people, if they are worthy. Now, we don't read it in the English, but in the original language, it's powerful. What we would have in a fuller translation is, if indeed, it's an emphatic. It's, again, it's showing the exclusivity and the importance of making sure. go back to the exegesis. We're going to dig into the details. And if in truth, in love, when you dig into the details, if this is a worthy, a truly God at work in them people, well, then your blessing is going to stay there. It's going to begin to blossom. You're going to be fertilizing and watering good soil, and things will begin to grow, and not just grow like we see in the parable of the soils and then burn out. But this is a place where you're going to see God bring forth a harvest 30, 60, 100 fold. And again, you're now a part. Remember, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Jesus is now saying in this ambassador academy where he's teaching his people, these are the Almighty's ambassadors. He's saying, this is how you're going to help the harvest of 30, 60, 100 fold to come forth. You seek the worthy people of peace and you invest in them. You stay, you pour in, you make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And one day the entire world will be changed and it will come one heart by one heart by one heart. The one who proclaims to one or a thousand, it all comes through this process. God's grace, God's spirit, God's people, God's mission, God's promises being fulfilled. Amen and amen. Now, we don't just shake hell. Hell isn't the only ones that are designed to quake, but we should shake him and or her who reject us. Now, hear me, hear me. We are ambassadors of the King. Your ambassadorship has privilege and responsibility. And while we are not Jesus, we are his. And while we are not sent in our own strength or on our own mission, we are sent in his strength and on his mission. That's really important because while there are those who become arrogant and braggadocious and go forward in their own power, there are also those who are too sheepish, who back down to the enemy's opposition, not realizing that you have all of Christ's authority, Christian, and you've been sent to seek out and make shake those who are denying him. Listen to the word. Again, we make people shake. But if it is not worthy, if the oikos, if the house, if the village, if the city is not worthy, if not responding to the presence and the power of Almighty God, then take back, again, epi, take back upon yourself, on you. It's not yours, but you're going to receive back on you that which God told you to share and put on them, that blessing of your greeting. Take back your blessing of peace. And whoever does not receive, now this is not pleasantry, this is who believes and accepts and responds appropriately. Whoever does not receive you, nor listen or hear your words. And again, this is not hearing that just takes it into the ear. This is hearing that comes into the heart. If those who do not hear and heed you are along this path, then guess what happens? Then you are to leave that house. You are to walk away. You are to leave. Now people say, well, what do you mean? That's not loving. Well, this is the instruction of our Lord. Perhaps there's some need to get new and better biblical and missional definitions of what it means to love. And you'll find that there are times when love leaves. There are times when love leaves. To obey the Lord, you may need to leave. To demonstrate the greater love, you may need to leave. There will be times where God will call people to leave. Now, that does not rationalize and it does not justify all the wrongdoing that happens in the context of leaving. Again, it's the both and tension of seeing. You need to be submitted to, we need to be submitted to the true, full context, spirit empowering works of our Lord as laid out in his word, per his will and according to his ways. That's what we see here. Now, we are to shake the dust off of our feet. This, friends, again, this is powerful. This is countercultural to us. It was right in the heart of the cultural of Jesus's day. You see, shaking the dust off one's feet, it was in one sense a way of saying, I'm leaving the unclean. Or when the people would come back into the promised land from Gentile lands, before they would step into the promised land, they would symbolically and physically, literally shake the dust of the unclean lands off their feet before they would come in to the promised land. But it's also metaphorical. It's also got a very theological application. And what we see here is very much like what we see the Lord teaching in Ezekiel 33. Some of you will know the account. If you are a watchman on the wall and you don't sound the alarm when the enemy comes, well, those that die as a result of your silence, their blood will be on your hands. However, the Lord goes on to say, if you do your part, you sound the alarm and the people stay sleeping or they don't respond, and then their blood is spilled, well, you are clean. Their blood is not on your hands. What the Lord is showing here is that where and when you have done your part to bring forth the news, the good news of the kingdom of God, whether it's an introductory message or if it's you trying to drive home the fullness of that message, if and when that is rejected, the Lord is here commanding his people in his guidance and through his spirit. Sometimes he's going to tell you to stay, and other times he's going to lead you to leave and shake the dust off your feet. This is what it is to shake people. You need people. Many times they need to know, listen, you're not just rejecting me. We're going to see Jesus say it further down the line in chapter 10. If they deny his messengers, they deny him as Messiah. If they deny the messenger's message, they're denying the Messiah's message. And again, sometimes this is in the introduction of the gospel. But make no mistake, religious people, this is also in truth an application for those who deny and reject the fullness of his message. All those that are applying cheap grace, all of those who live in Laodicea and think that they've got it all going on, all of those who are a part of a reputation of people that seems and sounds great, but Jesus would say is dead. This is a message for them. We shake those people. We're called, we're commanded, we're commissioned to shake the people who deny the fullness of God's word, his will, and his way. Amen and amen. Now, this is not only a confrontational shaking, it's a consequential shaking. As you can see, as we continue on, there's a shaking of right here, right now. If you live in Laodicea, check out Revelation 3 if you don't know what I'm talking about. If you're in a place that's highly religious, very popular, a broad road church, small c, that is not the narrow road, capital C church. If you're lukewarm and loving it, if you think that you can wink at the lordship of Christ because you've got the salvation of him as your savior. Listen, if the Lord is not your Lord, he's not your savior. This is what we see. It's not just a confrontational shaking that's called out here. It's a consequential shaking. And let me just show you one of the blessings that I learned anew this week. Again, every time you dig in God's word, you should come out with new treasure. You can, I promise you. The question here that I asked is, help me, Lord, to better share with others what seems to be a contradictory statement when we're told that those who do not receive and those who do not hear and heed, that they are going to lose the blessing. What do you mean, Lord Jesus, when you say that you're to take back your blessing? Well, here again, our translations sometimes make it difficult to understand. But what the Lord is saying here, and the original languages, and if you go to the notes, I promise you a blessing. What he's saying here is you'll get put back upon you that which was not received. That, in essence, you were a delivery person of a message, of a blessing. If the people that you were sharing it with said, we don't want it, the Lord says, take that message, take that blessing back upon yourself. You see, friends, you are blessed when you deliver the message of truth and love, the gospel, God's blessing. You are blessed to bring the blessing to others. And you are doubly blessed when they reject the message, because the Lord has told us his word never goes out void. It will always accomplish his will, his purposes. And what we have explained here is if you are one who's going to carry his word, his blessing, his truth and love, mind you, we've already learned they're going to hate you. They're going to slander you. They're going to persecute you. And what he tells us here is, and you'll receive a double blessing. You'll be blessed again. The blessing of delivering will have added to it now the blessing of that which was rejected by them returning to you. I heard one theologian say it's like thinking about Moses, like Noah on the ark. After the rain, he sent out the dove. And the dove did not find what it was looking for. And the dove returned to Noah. When you and I send out the dove of God's blessing and it lands on those who won't let it land on them, it comes back to you and me as our blessing. It's a double blessing. It's not just confrontational. It's not just consequential on the sad side. It's consequential in that it's a double blessing for those who carry this message. Amen. Now, I pray that you'll also realize that there is a shaking that's meant for right here. I'm preaching from the United States of America, arguably the most blessed and gifted country on the planet's surface, perhaps ever. And I'm here to tell you, we need to be shaken because we are living like those in Sodom and Gomorrah. We're murdering our babies. We're perverting God's truth. We're literally celebrating what ought to be repented of. And we're running away and trying to silence that which should be shared and shouted from the mountaintops. Friends, those who reject, whether it's an individual heart, a single home, an oikos, a household, a small village, a large city, a state, a country, a continent, the globe, any and all who reject are going to be worse off on Judgment Day than those of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you don't know, Sodom and Gomorrah is widely used throughout Scripture to represent the epitome of sin and sinners. And when they would not repent, and when the Lord had his fill of them, he brought down, showered them with fire and brimstone. And I want you to think about this. Think about this. And again, be stretched, if not blessed. What the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us here is that for those who reject the truth and love of his messengers, get this, those who reject his messengers are going to be worse off on Judgment Day than the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. The worst of the worst of the worst sinners will have it better in that day than those who have heard the truth and love of Jesus the Christ through his sent ones, small s, sent ones. It will be better on Judgment Day for the heathens and the wicked of Sodom and Gomorrah than those who in their religiosity and in their high moralism, in their hypocrisy, rejected the fullness of God's truth and love as shared through his messengers. Those that are 80% Christians, 20% hypocrite, they're not Christian. Those that say, like the rich young ruler, okay, I'll accept everything except that little piece, to reject Christ as Lord is to be worse off on Judgment Day than the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, friends, I pray that this truth and love is grabbing a hold of you in a way that will either encourage you. You see, there are some practicalities here in the passage. If you're a truth teller, if you're a sent one, if you're one who knows what it is to be slandered, those who are hated, those who are being persecuted, if you are the object of lies and liars and the enemy is trying to take you off the field, be encouraged. Don't allow the disappointment of how some respond and reject to put you into paralysis. No, the Lord is making it clear. His people are not accountable for other people's response. You, Christian, are not going to be held accountable for somebody else's rejecting Christ. We all will be held accountable for our witness, for our championing of the truth. Let this be an encouragement and a reminder of the urgency. You see, those who think that they can get over on the Lord, they're not. Oh, they may buffalo you, me, the crowds. They may get away with what seems like murder, but they won't. You see, either Christ will be their Lord. They will live submitted to him, and they will join the ranks of the harvesters. Those who have been harvested are the ones who live as harvesters, trying to find and grow more harvesters. You know, we bring God glory by finding and growing more glorifiers. That's what it is to live sent. We love him by faithfully obeying him, worshiping him, and living out an eternal thanks and praise. This is what it is. And per his teaching here in Matthew 10, if you want to know how, then listen, learn, love and live. Hear and heed the word of God. His name is Jesus. And it's here in Matthew chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. You and I, we are to be those who live sent. We actively seek, and we better be willing to shake. Otherwise, there are those that are going to quietly go to hell. May it never be so on our watch. May we hear our Lord, who is crystal clear here. We are to, in his power, work the fields by looking for those in whom his power can be found. Again, let me just be more clear. We are to fish for men by going to his fishing holes and looking for the real fish. We are to go to his mission fields, and we are to work the fields, work the family farm, and seek out those who show themselves to be worthy in so much as they are responding to the Lord. Now, we'll know this to be true because of their response. They'll literally, and we'll go into this more next time, but they will literally show you God is at work in them. You don't have to wonder. You're not looking for who's going to buy your sales pitch. You're not looking for those that will respond to the marketing program. You're looking for those in whom God is doing a work. And there are litmus tests for him and his work. The first of which is his glory. Is what is happening being done and responded to in a way that glorifies the Lord? Is there a core component of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the pursuit of the glory of God? Are these in the essence of what is happening? If yes, amen. If no, watch out. Watch out. Those that are active and those that are trying to learn you but not love you are probably trying to manipulate you. Those that love the Lord, love his people, and want to serve the world, well, we'll be those that live submitted here. We'll seek by learning, by testing, and by shaking and blessing people. Friends, I want to encourage you. Press in here. The passage, one of the most valuable and blessed in all of Scripture. Lord, I pray that each one within the sound of my voice will hear you, heed you, and come follow you. Lord, may we all live sent. May we all actively seek. May we truly shake this world. And as was said of your early followers, may we be accused of turning this world upside down, all by your grace, all through your gospel, and all and only and always for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray and believe together. Amen and amen.